Listen, you want to live in willful ignorance? Sit under sermons like this, go to Sunday school classes, study the Bible on your own, and then close it and walk away and forget you heard anything. You are living like a pagan. You are living in willful ignorance. Why? Why has man chosen to suppress God's revelation?
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. What is mankind's core problem? Hello again, I'm Bill Wright. Today we continue Tom's series in Ephesians 4 called How to Live Like a Pagan. The Bible teaches that man's problem is not a lack of information or understanding about God. Rather, unbelievers are willfully ignorant, suppressing the truth because their hearts are hard. Every thought, feeling, and desire stands in opposition to God. And that's the root issue. Today, Tom Pennington reveals the stark reality of humanity's spiritual deadness and reveals the powerful truth that only the gospel can bring true hope and lasting salvation. Let's join Tom right now for more here on The Word Unleashed.
Now, we do this in relatively harmless ways every day. This kind of willful ignorance. For example, this is the kind of ignorance I have when it comes to where things are located in my kitchen at home. There was a time when I knew where things were, and I understood where most of the dishes and food and utensils were in the kitchen. But I have deliberately tried very hard to suppress that knowledge. Because I've discovered this: if Sheila doesn't think I know where things are, then it seriously lowers her expectations. Or consider another example. Most of us know and understand that eating fried foods is bad for our bodies, and most of us know and understand that getting plenty of exercise is good for our bodies. But we suppress that knowledge, and we make another trip to Babe's Chicken Dinner House. We eat another hamburger. When we get home from work, we sit down on the couch and read a book or watch TV rather than hit the exercise equipment. Why? Because we're suppressing that knowledge so we can do what we want to do. We know it. We understand it. We're just kind of pushing it out of our mind so that we can feel comfortable doing what it is we want to do. And those are humorous or relatively harmless examples in the scope of eternity of how we exercise that sort of willful ignorance. But folks, tragically, unregenerate people choose to take exactly that same approach when it comes to their knowledge of God. They are ignorant of God and His ways, but their ignorance is not accidental. It is willful. O'Brien, one commentator, calls this ignorance an obstinate rejection of the truth of God. Another commentator says ignorance is frequently a stance of the total man that includes his emotion, will, and action. Not to know the Lord is as much as to ignore Him. Ignorance, in this sense, is equal to sin. It amounts to flagrant repudiation of God's revelation, a deliberate commission rather than an incidental omission or lack. You see, the problem with unbelievers' ignorance of God isn't a lack of information. It isn't even a lack of understanding. It's His will. You remember Hosea 4, where God says in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You say, great, well, let's just give them information. Or maybe they didn't understand. Listen to what God says next. "Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you." That's what the sinner does. Let me show you how this works from Romans 1. Paul goes through this very clearly in Romans 1, and we're not going to take a lot of time with it, but I want you to see the progression of his thought. Romans chapter 1. Paul wants us to know that God has given men all the information they need to respond rightly to Him as Creator. They have all the information that they need about Himself in the creation. Look at verse 19. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Nobody can claim the ignorance of a lack of information. Look at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, specifically his eternal power and his divine nature, have been, watch this, clearly seen. God hasn't hidden himself. He's made himself evident to them. He's made it clear. They can clearly see it. So the problem is not a lack of information. Paul secondly says, there's not only plenty of information, but they understand it. All men understand that information. Look at verse 19 again. That which is known about God is evident, watch this, within them. And verse 20 says, that revelation of God in creation, look at verse 20, being understood through what has been made. They get it. They not only have the information from God, the revelation from God, but they understand it and they see it. So that, verse 20 ends, they are without excuse. By the way, this answers the question about that pagan lost in some jungle somewhere who's never been exposed to the gospel. He will be indicted on the information he had in creation. He had enough information about God in creation so that he has no excuse. He responded just like this. God made himself evident, and he responded in rebellion to that information. He knew it, and he understood it, and that's true of all mankind. So understand this, folks. If man knows and he understands, how did he come to be ignorant of God? Well, look back at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Watch this. Who suppress the truth and unrighteousness? They push it to the back edges of their mind so that they can do what they want to do. Just like we do in trivial ways every day. Now, go back to Ephesians 4. Notice Paul adds there this willful ignorance. He says, the ignorance that is in them. Literally, the ignorance that is being in them. It's the state of being. Having willfully chosen to shut God out of their minds, what God had revealed about himself, they are now living in a self-imposed state of ignorance about God and his will. Let me give you a couple of contemporary examples of this willful ignorance. Take creation and evolution. The debate that rages back and forth. Did you see in Romans 1 that the problem is not a lack of information? You know, you and I look at the created world and we kind of squint around and we say, I don't get it. I don't see how anybody could look at all of this and come to the conclusion that it just happened. Well, here's how it happens. It's not that God hasn't made it obvious and clear, nor is it that they don't understand it. They do understand it. Paul says they have suppressed that. They have pushed it to the outreaches of their mind where they don't have to deal with it, where they can live how they want to live. Take the acceptability of some moral lifestyle like homosexuality. Again, understand the problem isn't with a lack of information or a lack of understanding. It's that man is willfully ignorant. Paul says in Romans 1, look, it's a sin. God made it clear by how he made the male and female bodies that men and women are intended for each other and not men with men and women with women. It's natural, he says. They go against the natural. It's obvious. God's made it obvious, and they sin against that. And some even use the Bible to excuse it. You know, I'm not making this up, but there are those who would say the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis is not because of the sin of homosexuality, but because of a lack of hospitality. That's mental gymnastics. It's not that God hasn't made it clear. It's not that they don't understand it. It's that they are suppressing the truth. Another example of this willful ignorance. And by the way, I'm not making fun of any group of people here. We all live like this, all right? This is how we live before Christ. Another example of this willful ignorance is whether Jesus is who he claimed, the divine Son of God. You know, there are debates about that every year around the holidays, you know, whether Christmas or Easter. You see all these programs, well, we're just not sure, you know, if Jesus claimed that and whether he was that. Listen, folks, what could God do to make it clearer? He spoke twice from heaven, audibly, so that they heard him. He gave power to his son to do extraordinary miracles that even his enemies couldn't deny. He taught like no one else has ever taught. He lived a life that even among most pagans is this exemplary life that ought to be copied. And God even raised him from the dead. Folks, the problem is not a lack of information. Unregenerate men question his identity because of willful ignorance. Listen, when unbelievers in your life are ignorant of God and his ways, they are willfully ignorant. They are suppressing the truth. Now, again, remember the context. Paul is commanding us not to live like this. We are not to walk in willful ignorance of God and his revelation. How do we do that? How can we walk in willful ignorance of God's person and God's ways? Well, by failing to understand what God has said. Listen, if God has spoken here and I treat this book like a magazine that I can toss around and maybe I'll get to it if I have a chance, I am living purposefully, willfully in ignorance that I don't need to live in. Or by knowing the truth of God, maybe I'm a thorough Bible student, I know the truth of God, but I ignore it in my everyday life. I don't do anything with it. It's like James 1. You know, a man who beholds himself is reflection in a mirror. He leaves and forgets the kind of person he was and does nothing about it. Listen, you want to live in willful ignorance? Sit under sermons like this, go to Sunday school classes, study the Bible on your own, and then close it and walk away and forget you heard anything. Don't try to incorporate any of those things into your life. You are living like a pagan. You are living in willful ignorance. Why? Why has man chosen to suppress God's revelation? We'll go back to Ephesians 4, because in the next phrase in verse 18, Paul tells us, because of the hardness of their hearts. Paul continues to take us deeper into the unregenerate heart and mind on this sort of spiritual autopsy of unbelievers. He's defining the characteristics of how pagans live. They live with a worthless worldview, with a darkened mind, with a lifeless soul, and in willful ignorance. And that brings us to the fifth defining characteristic of how pagans live, with a hard heart. A hard heart. Notice verse 18 ends, because of the hardness of their hearts. Here we reach the core problem. It's not a lack of information. It's not a lack of understanding. Unbelievers are willfully ignorant of God. They suppress the truth because they have hard hearts. Now, in the biblical usage, the heart is the center of the real person. It's the seat of thought and understanding, the seat of the feelings, the emotions, the affections, the desires, the will. It is the entire inner person, the real person. And here Paul tells us that if you could look into the heart of every unbeliever, you would find a hard heart. The Greek word that's translated hardness here is the word porous. It was used in the first century in a couple of ways. Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, used this word hardness to describe the hard callus that forms at the point where a bone is broken. If you've ever had a broken bone, you've looked at where that bone has knit together under an x-ray, you can see that there's this sort of hard mineral callus that forms to knit those where that bone is knit back together. It's very hard. It was also used, this word hardness, to describe the consistency of a stone like marble, but even harder than marble. So when Paul says unbelievers have hardness of heart, it's like our expression, he's got a heart of stone. In fact, one translation even says, their minds have grown hard as stone. This is a frequent indictment in Scripture. But let me take you to one. Turn back to Zechariah, second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 7. Listen to what God says to the people of Israel of Zechariah's day, near the end of Old Testament history. Zechariah 7, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, and God basically says, tell them to repent. Tell them to live in keeping with what I've commanded. Dispense true justice, practice kindness, compassion each to his brother. Don't oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor. Don't devise evil in your hearts against one another. Repent, basically. Verse 11. But they refused to pay attention, and they turned a stubborn shoulder, and they stopped their ears from hearing. Picture a child who doesn't want to hear what another one's saying, who takes his fingers and plunges it into his ears so he can't hear. Verse 12, they made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. A hard heart. A heart that refuses to hear God, that refuses to turn from sin and repent. When people have hard hearts, it makes them unable to grasp the truth. You remember the parable of the soils we looked at a couple of months ago? There was the stony heart. There was the heart where the ground had been walked on over and over and over again, and it had become hard. The seed fell on it, and it couldn't pierce. And the birds came and snatched the gospel away. A hard heart that the truth couldn't get into. Resistant to the truth. Understand that in biblical terms, to be hard-hearted is primarily a description of the human will. It's not something that just happens to you. It's something you are culpable for. How does God respond to such hard hearts? Well, if you look back, and you don't need to turn there, but in Mark chapter 3, we studied a while back on Sunday evening, Jesus encountered the hard heart of the Pharisees, and this is how he responded. Mark 3:5, Jesus looked around at the Pharisees with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. God is angry and grieved at hard hearts. But God responds in another way as well, and this one is kind of frightening. Where there is a hard, resistant heart to the truth of God, God further withholds his influence so that the heart becomes even harder. That's referred to in Scripture as God hardening the heart. It doesn't mean that God, against somebody's will, caused their heart to be hard. It means instead that because of their own hard heart against his will, God withdraws the softening influence of the work of his Spirit, and the hard heart becomes even harder. The classic example, of course, is Pharaoh. I don't have time to take you back there, but you remember some five times we're told Pharaoh's heart was hardened without being told how. Then three times we're told Pharaoh sinned and hardened his heart against God. And then six times we're told God hardened Pharaoh's heart. How? By withholding those softening influences and letting Pharaoh's heart play out its own evil character. That's what happens in Romans 1. You remember? In Romans 1, three times, Paul says, God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. That's God's hardening. He's removing the influence and work of his Spirit. And the heart grows hard. Understand this tragic fact. An unbeliever hardens his own heart. He refuses to submit his will to God. But there may come a time in the life of that person when God has had enough and he withdraws those influences that could soften the heart, and it becomes harder and harder and harder. Paul is telling us here, don't live like a hard-hearted pagan. Don't cultivate a hard heart. What's the opposite of a hard heart? A tender heart, as it's called in the Scripture. Cultivate a tender heart toward your own sin and toward the Word of God. I don't have time to do this, but I'm going to do it. Turn with me to 2 Kings, because I want you to see this. I want you to see what this looks like. 2 Kings 22. You remember the story of Josiah, the good king in Judah? They find a copy of God's law. It's been buried. They find it. He hears it read to him, and he repents. And because of that, listen to what God says to Josiah through the prophet. 2 Kings 22, verse 18. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard. Because, Josiah, your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. And God withholds his judgment. Here's what the opposite of a hard heart is. It's a heart, a tender heart, that hears the word of God and is broken over your own sin, is willing to turn from it. You humble yourself before God. You hear his word. You submit yourself to him. Or you can make your heart hard like flint, where you hear the word of God and you will not turn, you will not submit, you will not obey, you want your own way, and someday God will remove those softening influences from you and let you go your own way. Soft heart. Those are the characteristics of all unbelievers. They are defined by a worthless worldview, a darkened mind, a lifeless soul, a willful ignorance, and a hard heart. But let me ask you this as we finish our time. Why does Paul take so much time to give us this here? Why does he take so much time and space to rehearse these characteristics of unbelievers in such great detail to the Christians in Ephesus and to us? Well, obviously, he wants us to see it and to hate it and to turn from it. Stop living like that. But I think there's something more. Paul wants us to understand what we have been rescued from. Folks, this is us. This is our autopsy. This is the autopsy of our souls apart from the grace of Christ. We need to understand the grace of God. Listen to Lloyd-Jones. A superficial view of sin, if you don't understand all of this, a superficial view of sin leads to a superficial view of salvation and to a superficial view of everything else. So we follow the apostle as he shows us the depths of sin and iniquity in order that we may be enabled to measure the height and the depth and the breadth and the length and to know the love of Christ. Listen, you will only go as deep in your love for Christ as you go deep in your understanding of the depravity of your own soul and what God saved you from. You will only go as high in worship of God as you go deep in an understanding of the pit from which you have been digged. Recently, I've been learning a new song that puts this so well for me. Listen to the words of the second verse. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me, through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Folks, as we track through these verses, understand that's your anatomy. That's the configuration of your soul. That's your spiritual autopsy if God had not intervened in grace. And you would have ended up exactly where these will end up apart from the grace of God. May it drive us to worship and praise and adoration. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this amazing description, for the insight it gives us. Lord, help us to hate what we used to be and help us to turn from it, even as Paul is urging us to do here. And Father, help us to reflect on what you have saved us from by grace so that we love you more profoundly and we praise you with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed, revealing the stark reality of humanity's spiritual deadness and unpacking the powerful truth that only the gospel can bring true hope and lasting salvation. Well, that was part 6 of our series, How to Live Like a Pagan. Tom will have part 7 for you next time, and we look forward to welcoming you back. Got a question about Scripture? The Word Unleashed brings you Ask Pastor Tom on YouTube, where Tom Pennington tackles your biblical questions straight on. Whether you're wrestling with difficult doctrine, seeking clarity on a challenging passage, or wondering how God's Word applies to daily life, Tom wants to hear from you. Don't keep wondering. Send your questions to listeners at thewordunleashed.org. Again, that's listeners at thewordunleashed.org. And connect with Ask Pastor Tom on YouTube today. And remember to connect with us on social at The Word Unleashed. The Word Unleashed is made possible because of the prayers and financial gifts of individuals like you. Please consider partnering with us. You can find out how to do so by visiting us online at The Word Unleashed. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.